Canada, Australia, quite a few from the UK this year, and we even have one from China.
Instead of 19 states and the District of Columbia recognizing gay marriage, which was true before the open of business today, by this time next week, it's probably going to be 30 states.
This represents the de facto Roe v. Wade of sodomy-based marriage.
For Christians like me, this is a civil rights issue in that I don't like gay people are getting civil rights.
It's now easier to count the number of states where marriage rights are not equal than it is to count it all the other way.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Estonia engages gender-free civil unions. Artists and fans activate for the Write Out TV Music and Video Awards and marriage equality mushrooms in the U.S. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michael Allen.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending October 11, 2014. A decision by the U.S. Supreme Court opened civil marriage to same-gender couples in almost a dozen states on October 6th, increasing the number from 19 and the District of Columbia to at least 30. The nation's highest court declined to review marriage equality rulings by three federal appeals courts covering Colorado, Indiana, Kansas, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. Then on the following day, October 7th, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals declared the bans on civil marriage for same-gender couples unconstitutional in Idaho and Nevada, additionally affecting Alaska, Arizona, and Montana. The Ninth Circuit also has jurisdiction over those states. The justices took a swipe at the religious right in their decision, writing that, "To allow same-sex couples to adopt children and then to label their families as second class because the adoptive parents are of the same sex is cruel as well as unconstitutional. Classifying some families, and especially their children, as of lesser value should be repugnant to all those in this nation who profess to believe in family values."
Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy granted a temporary stay of the Ninth Circuit ruling in Idaho at the request of Republican Governor Butch Otter, who wanted to challenge the ruling in the high court, just as other officials have appealed federal district court marriage equality rulings affecting their states. Kennedy's stay was first interpreted as also stopping the marriages of same-gender couples in Nevada, but the justice issued a clarification soon thereafter, specifying that the stay applied only to Idaho. But by week's end, the high court had virtually lifted the stay in Idaho. And late on October 10th, Governor Otter threw in the towel, issuing a statement saying in part that the Supreme Court's order lifting Justice Kennedy's stay effectively allows same-sex marriage in Idaho as soon as the Ninth Circuit directs compliance with its decision. I disagree with the court's conclusion. But we are a nation of laws. Idaho now should proceed with civility and in an orderly manner to comply with any forthcoming order from the Ninth Circuit.
Officials in most of the other states affected by the Supreme Court action have authorized the issuance of marriage licenses to lesbian and gay couples, some also reluctantly. Though the Kansas Supreme Court granted the state attorney general's request to temporarily stop the nuptials in Johnson County, the only Kansas jurisdiction to have started issuing licenses. But the ruling allows applications for licenses to continue. The state high court has scheduled a hearing on the matter for November 6th. At the request of the South Carolina Attorney General, the state's Supreme Court blocked the issuance of marriage licenses to same-gender couples until a federal judge specifically rules that the state's ban on civil marriage equality is unconstitutional. A suit challenging the ban is pending in U.S. District Court. A federal judge in North Carolina already struck down that state's ban this week. We'll have a lot more on mushrooming U.S. civil marriage equality later in the program.
Elsewhere, Estonia has become the first former Soviet nation to legally recognize same-gender couples, but it was hardly a cakewalk. after passing its final parliamentary reading by a narrow vote of 40-38 with 23 abstentions, a vocally supportive President Tomas Hendrik Ylves signed the bill into law on October 9th. It establishes civil unions for Estonian couples, regardless of gender, offering many of the rights of heterosexual married spouses, including the right of a partner to adopt her or his partner's biological child, although full adoption rights are not part of the legislation. The Associated Press reported that the law takes effect in January.
But the conservative, mostly Muslim Central Asian nation of Kyrgyzstan, also a former Soviet satellite, is currently considering a ban on so-called gay propaganda that's similar to the draconian law signed by Russian President Vladimir Putin last year. Even harsher than the Russian version, the Kyrgyz law would sentence anyone found guilty of promoting homosexuality to minors to a year in prison. It reportedly only took a key parliamentary committee 4 minutes to approve the measure. Equality activists say that because of societal pressures, no lawmaker dares vote against it.
Meanwhile, in another former Soviet nation, a Roman Catholic bishop has won this week's Say What Award by claiming that homosexuality is destroying humanity while denying that he's anti-gay. Latvian Archbishop Zbigniew Stankevich made the comments in an interview with the right-wing Christian website LifeSite News. "Homosexual relationships are destroying our identity," he said. "Not only our Christian identity, but also our human identity, the identity of man and the identity of woman. We are not against homosexuals. We are for these persons. We are invited to disarm a lie and let in the truth in such ways."
As we previously reported, a unique LGBT-friendly mosque recently opened in Cape Town, South Africa, that also welcomed men and women to worship together. It was promptly forced to close down for not having enough parking spaces. And now the open mosque has been damaged by fire. It happened sometime after midnight on October 4th, the eve of a celebration of the Muslim Feast of the Sacrifice Festival. No one was injured, although the fire badly damaged the front door. The mosque has been criticized as un-Islamic and threatened with violence by more than a dozen national and provincial Muslim organizations across the country. Dr. Taj Harge, the South African-born director of the Muslim Educational Center at Britain's Oxford University and the Open Mosque's imam, said that, "Instead of preparing for the holy day, these people were preparing to destroy the house of God. It's very sad, disrespectful." But his resolve has not been shaken. "They cannot shut us down. They can try whatever they want," he said. "Our opponents should know that they don't have a copyright on Islam."
In other news, more than a year after she first began her legal fight, Kenyan transgender rights activist Audrey Mbugua won her case this week in the East African country's High Court against the National Examinations Council for refusing to recognize her gender identity on her school records. The court ordered the council to recognize the 27-year-old activist's chosen name and to remove the male gender designation on all of her high school certificates. Mbugua has yet to learn whether she'll be allowed to change her name and gender designation on her national identification card and passport. But LGBT activists are hailing the High Court decision as a landmark victory. Arguably Kenya's most visible trans activist, Mbugua said she intends to continue to use the courts to fight for the rights of transgender people.
But 11 girls at a private school in Kenya have been suspended for lesbianism. School officials at Lynette Girls High School said that 40 girls between the ages of 14 and 17 were involved in illicit love affairs that led to the 11 older girls' suspensions. One of the suspended students said that she and the other girls were beaten. Photos showed that she had black and red marks on her thighs, back, and bottom. The school's director defended his staff, saying that they were not beaten to that extent.
A formerly closeted gay Russian teenager who came to the U.S. in a high school exchange program is afraid to return to his homeland because of its anti-LGBT laws and is seeking U.S. asylum. The Russian government recently announced that it was terminating the Future Leaders Exchange Program, an American-run organization that brought students from Russia and former Soviet countries to study in the United States, because that unnamed student had been placed in the home of a gay couple in Michigan. Susan Reed of the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center, which is representing the boy, said privacy concerns limit what she can say about the case. But she told Radio Free Europe that our client is afraid of returning to Russia because Russia persecutes gay people. That's what this is about. He met many caring adults, both gay and straight, in the U.S., she said, and he decided to stay here because he was afraid to go home. According to the New York Times, U.S. officials suggested that the Kremlin was using the case as a pretext to further strain diplomatic relations.
And finally,
my name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
The Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., canceled a screening earlier this month of Milk, the Oscar-winning film about Harvey Milk, one of the first openly gay elected officials in the United States. The event, called Milk and Cookies, was scheduled to kick off LGBT Awareness Month on campus. According to organizers, school officials approved the screening in September, but then decided that it would be promoting beliefs that are contrary to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. The university even objected to the large rainbow flags on flyers that promoted the screening. Jackson Tovar of College Democrats, the group that was to have hosted the event, told the Boston Globe that the cancellation was an incredibly asinine decision, and that they're working on rescheduling the screening. In a related story, the notoriously anti-LGBT American Family Association refused a donation recently because it was mailed in an envelope with a commemorative Harvey Milk stamp on it.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 11th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michael Allen.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
Don't blink. More U.S. marriage equality news may break before we get to tell you what happened last week, later in the program. Write Out TV provides openly LGBTI artists with an audiovisual vehicle to help bring their work to the international community and honors them each year with the Write Out TV Music and Video Awards. The event is produced by Marley Walchuk and Tali Callender, who also make music together as Sugar Beach. They spoke with Len Rogers of the Stonewall Society for this exclusive preview of the awards.
Now, this is the fourth year for the awards, correct?
That's right. Yep. This is, I think, probably our biggest year as well. Thank God they just keep growing, which is good. Is a good thing. So we're very happy about that. And it's going fantastic.
The quality of the production that you put together when you do the actual show, you do a great job.
Oh, thank you very much. I have to give credit to Tully. She does the editing for that. And I think it is a mammoth project. I sort of sit back. I'm a bit of a foreman. I kind of sit over her shoulder and go, well, what about this? What about that?
You're actually seeing the lyrics and pictures rather than a produced music video, correct?
That's right. That's okay. Right. Yeah. And there's some really amazing, elaborate ones that people have been putting together. And I'm looking forward to, you know, people seeing what have been submitted. But, you know, sometimes it's just lyrics with, you know, a photo montage. And other times it's lyrics basically over a music video.
Now, you have new countries participating this year as well?
Yes, we have Sweden this year, Finland, Canada, of course, Australia. We've got quite a few from the UK this year, and we even have one from China, which we're really excited about. Looking forward to people seeing that video.
Yep.
Now, the fan voting is going to start soon, as where the fans can actually jump in here and participate, correct?
Exactly, yeah. The fan voting goes from October 6th, and then it runs till the 27th, and people can vote just once. But we're going to have a fan save page that goes up, and every artist that comes into the contest gets to go into this category for free. And we just tally the votes. It is hilarious. It's like a horse race. We come home every single day, and the email is full. I mean, we had over 8,000 people voting last year. for the fan fave, and that was just craziness. And we, you know, we've got it. We have a couple of different systems that we use. The artists sort of listed, and then we see them keep moving up the horse race.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like one'll be ahead one day, and then all of a sudden someone else will just take off ahead.
Coming from the back, shoot through to the front.
We found that award often goes to someone sort of new. The first year it went to from Portugal.
Yeah,
that was just incredible.
Yeah,
Sonus Fly.
Now, what website can they go to be checking out all the awards in the process?
Well, basically, writeouttvawards.com. We also have Facebook, so we're just writeouttv on Facebook. But the actual website is probably where they'll go. They'll definitely go there to do the fan fave voting, tvawards.com.
Okay, super. It is always great to talk to you, Marley and Tully, and I'm so glad that we got to do this and get you on This Way Out. I thank them for the opportunity, and good luck with your awards this year.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody.
That was Len Rogers with producers Marley Walchuk and Tully Callender talking about the Write Out TV Music and Video Awards.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out.
Maybe if we think and wish and hope and pray it might come true.
The number of U.S. states where lesbian and gay couples can legally marry almost doubled over the course of 36 hours last week. MSNBC News commentator Rachel Maddow recapped the evolving developments on her October 6th program.
The Supreme Court today denied appeals from gay marriage cases in Virginia, Indiana, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Utah. All those appeals were all turned down all at once today, which means that lower court rulings in favor of same-sex marriage rights in all of those five states today instantly became the law of the land. And over the course of the next few days, in six other states where those courts have jurisdiction as well, gay marriage will be legal. So there are 9 Supreme Court justices, right? Do the math. If you want to win a case at the Supreme Court, you need 5 votes. You need 5 justices on your side. You need 5 votes to win a case, but it only takes 4 votes for the Supreme Court to decide to take a case in the first place. So we know that there are 4 anti-gay marriage justices on the Supreme Court, Scalia, Roberts, Alito, and Thomas. If they had wanted to hear one of these cases today, if they had wanted the chance to overturn one of those pro-gay marriage cases from the lower courts, those 4 justices had enough votes to take the case, to do it. It's a really consequential decision that they didn't. I mean, instead of 19 states and the District of Columbia recognizing gay marriage, which was true before the open of business today, by this time next week, it's probably going to be 30 states recognizing gay marriage. That would not have happened had they taken up one of these cases on appeal today. So why didn't they take up one of these cases? The obvious answer is that they thought if the courts did take up another gay marriage case, their side would lose again, thus setting their cause back even further. Now, a more Machiavellian motive was suggested today, which is that they wanted to keep their options open. They may not be able to win one of these cases today, but if the makeup of the court changes in the future, like, say, if a Republican president's elected in 2016 and he or she gets to put someone new on the court, well, then maybe they could take up one of these gay marriage appeals, overturn it, stop the whole thing in its tracks. And yes, maybe they're all Machiavelli, right? Maybe that is what they're doing. But you know what? The number of states in which gay people can legally get married went from 19 yesterday to 24 today, and it'll be 30 next week. When the Ninth Circuit rules soon on a case like this, they're going to add another 5 states: Idaho, Nevada, Alaska, Arizona, and Montana. You're up next. I mean, anybody hoping to run out the clock and get to a brighter, more anti-gay future on the Supreme Court, they're going to have to contend with a country in which not just thousands, but tens of thousands of couples are legally married. And undoing that through the courts by some sweeping anti-gay Supreme Court ruling in the future, that is a prospect of such daunting radicalism, it is hard to even imagine it as fiction, let alone as the future. Today, in Norfolk County, Virginia, the county clerk there had fought all the way to the Supreme Court to keep his constituents in Norfolk County from being allowed to get married there. Today, when his side lost their case and had their appeal turned down by the Supreme Court, Timothy Bostick and Tony London showed up at their county clerk's office to get their marriage license, and they shook their county clerk's hand and told him, quote, "It was a pleasure suing you." The clerk responded, according to a local reporter who was there, quote, "I enjoyed being sued." They shook hands, he signed their marriage license, and Timothy Bostick and Tony London will be married in Norfolk County, Virginia. The day after Oklahoma passed its constitutional amendment banning gay marriage a decade ago, Mary Bishop and Sharon Baldwin sued their state for the right to get married. It has been a 10-year battle for them. They sued in 2004. It is now 2014. Today, they got their marriage license in Tulsa County, Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, in Utah, in Virginia, in Indiana, in Wisconsin, it happened today. In North Carolina, in South Carolina, in West Virginia, in Colorado, in Kansas, in Wyoming, it is about to happen imminently. Yes, I said Wyoming. And the anti-gay marriage groups are denouncing this as despicable.
This action not to act represents the de facto Roe v. Wade of sodomy-based marriage.
Brian Fisher of the American Family Association.
It's going to be virtually impossible now to stop this press and this push toward nationalizing, imposing on every state in the union marriage that is based on the infamous crime against nature. Their decision today imposes sodomy-based marriage on 11 states that don't want it, that voted against it, that have constitutional and legal protections in their states against the recognition of sodomy-based marriage. And the Supreme Court said, we don't care. It's unconscionable, unconstitutional, and completely, absolutely un-American.
And who knows, maybe John Roberts is hedging some complicated legal bet on the prospects of a Bobby Jindal presidency in 2016 that's going to turn back this tide. The decision today does not legalize equal rights in all 50 states. They decided this matter, in effect, by not deciding. This is beginning to feel like a thing that just cannot be undone, no matter what. Oh, but wait, there's more.
The following day, Tuesday, October 7th,
another one of those courts that's one level below the Supreme Court, Federal Appeals Court, ruled that state bans against same-sex marriage are unconstitutional. It was the Ninth Circuit Court, which covers a whole bunch of states in the western United States. Today's ruling from the Ninth Circuit directly overthrew the anti-gay marriage ban in two more states, Idaho and Nevada. But the ruling will also apply to all the other states in that circuit as well, which currently ban gay marriage, Montana, Alaska, Arizona. What this means is that in the course of 36 hours, we have gone from being a country where same-sex marriage is legal in 19 states and the District of Columbia to being a country where equal marriage rights are either legal or in the process of inexorably becoming legal in very short order in almost the whole country. 35 states plus D.C., states that represent 65% of the population. Wow, that was fast. It's now easier to count the number of states where marriage rights are not equal than it is to count it all the other way. Republicans like Ted Cruz in Texas and Bobby Jindal in Louisiana and Mike Lee in Utah and Mary Fallon in Oklahoma and Tom Tillis in North Carolina, they're all gnashing their teeth about this, pledging to fight to the end to stop this terrible outbreak of marriage rights. We're still waiting on one pending court ruling on the bans in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. But honestly, if you're waiting with bated breath for that result, it's because you're not paying attention to the movement of history.
Now that marriage equality has come to Nevada, the Las Vegas Convention and Tourism Authority posted a photo on its Facebook page of the iconic Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign, seen by those driving in from the west to what the city calls the marriage capital of the world, with the word fabulous appearing in rainbow colors. The caption reads, "Vegas just got more fabulous." But beyond civil marriage equality, major goals of the U.S. LGBT rights movement remain unfulfilled, including transgender protections and a federal ban on workplace bias based on sexual orientation or gender identity. It's practically the definition of ironic that lesbian and gay couples can now legally marry in most U.S. states, but can still be fired for doing so if word gets out in more than half of them. According to the Associated Press, just 21 states have employment non-discrimination laws that cover sexual orientation, and only 18 also cover gender identity. Meanwhile, political satirist and ersatz right-wing pundit Stephen Colbert wasted no time in lamenting the Supreme Court decision on his Comedy Central Colbert Report.
This is a dark day, a dark, dark day for cultural conservatives like myself. Because on Monday, the Supreme Court refused to hear 5 gay marriage cases, and as a result, more than half of all Americans now live in a state where gay marriage is legal. While our nation is going to hell in a handbasket, the Republican leadership is going someplace even worse, California.
House Speaker John Boehner will visit California this week to raise money for an openly gay Republican candidate.
Speaker Boehner is trying to broaden the tent. Here you have the top-ranked Republican in the House, the Speaker of the House, who says, I'm going to go out there for a gay Republican. I think that actually is a powerful message.
That powerful message? Please forget all of our previous messages. And to think, just last year, Boehner said this.
Listen, I am opposed to discrimination of any kind in the workplace and any place else. But I think this legislation is unnecessary and would provide a basis for frivolous lawsuits. People are already protected in the workplace.
I believe that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. It's what my church teaches me. And I can't imagine that position would ever change.
No, no, it won't change. It won't change at all. That's what being straight is all about. You pick one position and you stick with it for the rest of your life. Okay? Face to face, lights on, no eye contact. For Christians like me, this is a civil rights issue in that I don't like gay people are getting civil rights. And yes, we anti-gay marriage crusaders may be fighting a lost cause, but 20 years from now, we'll swear we fought on the other side.
But Whoopi Goldberg of ABC TV's The View had this advice for the holier-than-thou folks that Colbert's character represents.
Change is coming. You cannot stem this tide. It is coming whether you're comfortable with it or not. And just for all you folks who are deep Christians, as I recall as a child, I went to Catholic school, you know. I remember Jesus had a lot of different kind of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never turned anybody away. So I'm just saying.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michael Allen, Sarah Sweeney, and Len Rogers contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Kool and the Gang, the Beach Boys, and the Dixie Cups performed some of the retro music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners for making this program possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KDUR Durango, Colorado, 5G FM Kadena, South Australia, WCBN Ann Arbor, Michigan, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.